From the NBC Theater in Hollywood to all of you across America, a Happy New Year and Great Expectations by Charles Dickens, that is. In short, you are about to hear a special New Year's Day version of Dickens' Great Expectations, adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy of NBC and played to the hilt by the British platoon of our NBC repertory company. On August 3rd, 1861, in London, a fever of excitement greeted the publishing of the final episode of Charles Dickens' latest serial. The public, from marchionesses to servant girls, all waited eagerly for the last chapter that would tie the complicated plot together and reveal the secrets which had intrigued the readers of the magazine all the year round since the first episode printed Christmas Day. The entire exciting book was then published as a novel, and the NBC Theater brings it to you now. Great Expectations by Charles Dickens.
My father's family name being Pirrip, and my Christian name Philip, my infant tongue could make of both names nothing longer or more explicit than Pip. So, Pip I called myself, and Pip I was called by others. Ours was the marsh country, down by the river, and within 20 miles of the sea. I remember one afternoon when I was quite small. I stood in the bleak, damp churchyard. The fog had blown in from the ocean and billowed over the scattered graves. I stood shivering and just beginning to cry, for I realized that under the black, scowling stone lay my father, Philip, and my mother, Georgiana, and that the little stone lozenges that lay beside them were sacred to the memory of 5 little brothers of mine who had given up exceedingly early in the universal struggle for life. And then, suddenly, I stopped crying.
Here, you! Keep still, you little devil, or I'll cut your throat.
Oh, no, sir. Don't cut my throat, sir.
Your name, boy. Quick!
Pip, sir.
What? Give it mouth.
Pip. Pip, sir.
Pip, eh? Show us where you live. Point out the place.
Over there, sir. About a mile. You can't see it for the fog. Oh! Put me down, sir! Put me down!
A boy thinks better upside down. Now then, where's your father?
Right there.
What? Where? Speak up!
The stone, sir. The black one. That's my father.
Oh. Who do you live with? Supposing I made up my mind to let you live. Who do you live with, eh?
My sister, sir. Mrs. Joe Gargery, the wife of the blacksmith.
Blacksmith, eh? You see this iron on me leg, boy?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's a powerful heavy weight to drag after me. Now, you know what a file is?
Yes, sir.
And food?
Oh, yes, sir. I know. Oh, don't turn me over again, sir.
Now, you get me a file and you get me food, and you bring him here or have your heart and liver out.
If you... Please keep me upright, sir. Perhaps I shouldn't be sick and could attend more.
All right, then. You bring me that file and that food tomorrow morning. And if you dare to say a word about it, your heart and liver shall be torn out and roasted and it.
My liver, sir?
And your heart. Now, you get home.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir.
Oh, good night, eh? Oh, I wish I was a frog or an eel. Well, what are you waiting for, boy? Be off!
I ran across the marshes and home without stopping. Joe Gargery, the blacksmith, my brother-in-law, was waiting for me.
Hear that, Pip? Mrs. Joe's been on a dozen times looking for you. And what's worse, she's got tickler with her. She swore she'd wear that cane out on your bottom this time.
Tickler?
Ah, she made a grab for it, rapids, don't. Here, there she is. Look out, Pip.
Oh, no, you don't. I've got you. My arm. Where have you been, you young monkey?
I've only been to the churchyard.
If it wasn't for me, you'd been there long ago and stayed. Who brought you up by didn't, eh? You did. And have you got anything to say, Joe Gargery?
No, I don't think so.
I should hope not. Now, get ready for tea, both of you. Or there'll be no food this night. Go on, begin.
Pip, old chap, you all right?
Joe, I thought I heard something out of the marsh just now.
Yeah, so you did. There it goes again. It's a convict escaped last night. And now they're firing one and for another.
Where did the firing come from, Joe?
From the prison outskirt across the marsh.
Joe, who gets put in the hoax?
Well, it's...
That's the way with this boy. Answer him one question and he'll ask you a dozen directly. People get put in the hoax because they murder and rob and do all sorts of bad. And they usually begin by asking questions. Now eat your tea and get to bed.
There you are, boy. Well, how's your package, boy?
The support price, sir.
Hold on. You brought no one with you?
Oh, no, sir.
I believe you. You'd be a fierce young hound if you joined Santa Wretched Varmint. As near death and dunghill as this one is.
There's another one, you know. I mean, escaped.
What?
They were firing the cannon last night.
Now, where's that file, boy?
Yes, sir. I took it from the forge.
Good. I'll get this anchor off me leg and then... All right, boy. Go on home. Go on.
Pip, where the deuce have you been? Here it's Christmas Day, but Uncle Pumblechook come for Christmas dinner, and you wandering about the marshes. Now get inside.
I'm sorry. Merry Christmas, Uncle Pumblechook.
Boy, you have missed grace. Sit down.
Go on, Uncle Pumblechook.
And may we be truly grateful. Amen.
You hear that, Pip? Be grateful.
Especially be grateful to them what brought you up by hand, meaning Mrs. Joe.
Light or dark meat, Uncle?
Both. Why is it that the young are never truly grateful? Gravy, please. And naturally vicious. A little more stuffing, Mrs. Joe, if you please. Now take pork. Many a moral for the young might be deduced from pork.
Pip, would you like some...
Uncle Pumblechook is talking.
Swine were put before the young as an example of gluttony. What is detestable in a pig is even more so in a boy.
Oh, pudding, Uncle.
Thank you, Mrs. Joe.
A gravy pip, old chap.
Ah, yes. Be grateful, boy. Consider the lesson of pork. If you had been born such, you would not be enjoying yourself with your elders and betters, rolling in the lap of luxury, brought up by hand by our gracious hostess here. Mrs. Joe, it is time for the pie.
Of course, Uncle Pumblechook. Pip, run and fetch Uncle's savory pork pie.
Pork pie?
Come on, Pip. It's in the pantry. Pip, go and fetch Uncle Pumblechook's pie.
Open in the name of the king. Corporal, produce the handcuffs.
Handcuffs? Oh, don't take me, sir.
Oh, here, boy. I want the blacksmith.
I be the blacksmith.
You see, we've had an accident with these handcuffs and the lock goes wrong.
You are pursuing escaped convicts, Sergeant?
Yes, two. They're known to be out on the marshes. Anybody seen them?
No.
You, boy?
Me?
You seen any vicious convicts on the marsh?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Well... How about it, blacksmith?
Sergeant, I was, wondering, maybe we could, Pitbull chap here and me, maybe...
Oh, want to come along to watch the daring capture of two vicious and desperate varmints by His Majesty's own royal foot, eh?
Well, yes.
Come along, then, and welcome.
You,
sir?
You said two convicts?
Yes.
And desperate, mad dogs, both of them. Well, I think perhaps I might stay to protect Mrs. Joe. The home guard, you know.
You, blacksmith, get busy on them handcuffs.
Come around to the fort, sergeant.
You, out in the yard. Stand! Is it? All right, let's be at it.
Joe, I hope we shan't find them.
Aye, Pip, I'd give a shilling if they'd cut and run.
Yeah, Joe Carvery, if you bring that boy back with his eight lungs a bit, I'll look to me to put it together again.
You all right, Pip, old chap? Keeping up?
I'm all right, Joe.
Oh. Marky, what's that?
Listen. Run away! Oh!
Hey there! Forward! Quick! That's what
I'll do. Do you suppose it's them, Joe?
No, it's Lennon!
Run away!
Grab onto them, Corporal! Pull them apart! Come on, deliver your crew! Get them apart! Get the antag on them!
Mind you! I took him! I'll give them up to you.
Get those irons,
Joe. He tried to murder me. Take notice, guard. He tried to murder me.
Not likely. He's a gentleman, he is. I wouldn't want the Oaks to lose their gentleman. I got clear of the ship single-handed. You don't find no iron on my leg, but I come back when I heard he got off. You think I'd let him make a tool of me again? After the way it went when we were tried together?
Light those torches. We got a long, wet march back to the Oaks. Here we are.
Oaks!
Hey, blacksmith, there's the boat from the Oaks.
Sergeant.
What do you want, Barmins?
I want to say something about this escape. So no people will be laid under suspicion. I took some food from the village over there. From the blacksmith.
Well, no fancy, Pip.
Leftovers it was, and a pork pie. Blacksmith, I'm sorry to say, I've ate your pie.
God knows you're welcome to it. We don't know what you've done, but we wouldn't have you starved to death for it, poor, miserable fellow creature. What is it?
All right, blacksmith. You're clear. Get moving, you two varmints.
The wonder of the convicts and the pilfered pork pie soon died away. The days stretched into weeks, and then to months. And then one day, my sister, Mrs. Joe, burst in from marketing, followed closely by Uncle Pumblechook.
Well, where is he? Where is that boy? If he isn't grateful this day, he never will be.
Which is extremely likely. Vicious, naturally vicious.
What's all this now?
Miss Havisham wants him. He's to go and play there. And he'd better play, or I'll work him.
Miss Havisham of yon big house?
Aye, the rich old lady. She wants him to play.
I wonder how she got to know Pip.
Noodle said she knew him.
It was I recommended him.
She'll make the boy's fortune. She's that rich.
Boy, be forever grateful to all friends, but especially unto them what raised you by hand.
He's got to go right now with Uncle Pumblechook. Go on, Pip.
Goodbye, Joe.
God bless you, Pip, old chap. Very well. Let us be off.
Uncle Pumblechook's conversation consisted of a running sum, which I was to answer while riding along in his high cart.
7 times 9?
63.
And 4 less 3 times 2.
Then we approached the great house. It was old brick and dismal. Some of the windows had been walled up, and of those that remained, all the lower ones were heavily barred. We pulled up in front of the gate.
And 14?
348. Shall I ring, Uncle?
By all means. And 27?
The bell pull is quite stiff. There.
Boy! And 27!
I'm afraid I've lost count. There's somebody here.
What name?
A Pumblechook.
Why, sir? Well?
This is Pip.
this is Pip, is it? Come in, Pip. Oh, did you wish to see Miss Havisham?
If Miss Havisham wishes to see me.
Ah, but you see she doesn't. Come along, boy.
Pip, let your behavior here be a credit unto them that brought you up by hand.
Come along, boy. Miss Havisham is waiting. Don't loiter, boy.
Why do you call me boy? You're only as old as me.
Don't be impertinent. Mind the step.
Oh, don't take the candle, miss. It's dark.
Oh, nonsense. Go on, boy. Go in here.
Who's there?
Pip, ma'am.
Pip?
Mr. Pumblechook's boy, ma'am.
Come nearer, boy. Let me look at you. Come closer, boy. Closer.
Yes, ma'am.
Look at me. You're not afraid of a woman who has never seen the sun since you were born?
No, ma'am.
Do you know what I touch here beneath these withered, yellowed bridal veils?
Your heart, ma'am?
Broken. I'm tired. I want diversion, and I've done with men and women. Play, boy.
Play, ma'am?
I've a sick fancy to see someone play. Play, boy. Well, are you sullen and obstinate, Pip?
No, ma'am. I'm very sorry for you. And if you complain of me, I shall get into trouble. I just can't play.
Call Estella. Go on, boy. Call Estella at the door.
Yes, ma'am. Estella! Do you want me, Miss Havisham?
Let me see you play cards with this boy.
Why, he's a common laboring boy.
Estella, you can break his heart.
What do you play, boy? At cards. Only beggar my neighbor, miss.
Play.
What coarse hands he has. And what thick boots.
You say nothing of her, Pip.
No, ma'am.
What do you think of Estella?
I don't like to say.
Tell me in my ear.
I think she's very proud.
Anything else?
I think she's very pretty.
And?
I think she's very insulting. I think I should like to go home.
And so you shall. When shall I have you here again?
Well, ma'am, today is Wednesday.
There, there. I know nothing of days of the week. Time stands still here. Come again after 6 days.
Yes, ma'am.
Estella, take him out. Let him have something to eat.
Come along, boy.
In 6 days, Pip.
There, boy. You're to eat here. You put the plate on the floor.
Of course.
Go on. Go on, boy, eat. Why don't you cry, boy?
Because I don't want to.
You do. You cry until you're half blind. You're near crying now. Go home, boy. Go home and cry.
Joe. Joe.
There now, Pip, old chap.
She said my hands were coarse, and I was common.
Well, I don't know about that. You're uncommon in some things. You're uncommon small. Likewise, you're uncommon bright.
Joe, I'm dreadfully ignorant.
Ah, Pip, there's bound to be a beginning somewhere. Even the king on his throne can't write his acts in print without having begun when he was an unpromoted prince with the alphabet. That's all now, old chap. And let's not say no more about it, eh?
At length, the time came for me to return to Miss Havisham's, and once again, I followed Estella's flickering candle down the long, shrouded halls of the manor house. Suddenly, she stopped and turned to me.
Am I pretty?
Yes, miss. I think you're very pretty.
Am I insulting?
Not so much as you were the last time.
I'm not. There! Now, you coarse little monster, what do you think of me now?
I shan't tell you.
Why don't you cry again, you little wretch?
Because I'll never cry for you again.
Go in here, boy.
Ah, Pip, the days have worn away, haven't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you see this table, boy? This is where I shall be laid when I'm dead. They shall come and look at me here.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
What do you think that is on the table? There, where the cobwebs are.
I can't guess, ma'am.
It's a cake. A wedding cake. Long before you were born, this cake was brought here. It and I have worn away together. The mice have gnawed at it. And sharper teeth than teeth of mice have gnawed at me. Well, boy, call Estella and play.
I returned to Miss Havisham several times a week for 8 or 10 months. She would sit in the shrouded, dimly lit room and watch Estella and I play at cards. And then one day, she bade me bring Joe Gargery to see her. I was to be apprentice to Joe to learn to be a blacksmith, and Miss Havisham gave me £25 as premium. The next day, Uncle Pumblechook took me by the scruff of the neck to be bound apprentice at the town hall. There was a general celebration, and all I remember is that I was not allowed to fall asleep, but was poked awake and told to enjoy myself. The years of my apprenticeship went by in a shower of sparks from the anvil.
Hey there, Pip. Give over, give over.
There's something wrong, Joe.
Enough black something for the day. Come, clean up, Pip. We're off to the Jolly Bargemen for a pint. What loss, eh, Pip? Pint at the end of the day is the laboring man's right, eh, Pip?
Yes, I suppose so, Joe. Joe, who's that?
Who's what?
That strange man. He's coming over here.
I never seen him before, Pip.
I'm looking for a blacksmith by name Joseph or Joe Gargery.
I be Joe Gargery.
You have an apprentice commonly known as Pip.
I'm Pip.
What is it you was wanting with me and Pip? Hmm?
My name is Jaggers and I'm a lawyer in London. Joseph Gargery, I am the bearer of an offer to relieve you of this young fellow's apprentice.
What?
You would not object to releasing him for his own good? You would not want any payment?
Heaven forbid I should stand in Pip's way.
Heaven forbidding is pious, but not to the point.
The answer is no.
Well, the communication that I have concerning this young fellow is that he has great expectations.
Eh?
I'm instructed to tell him that he will come into a handsome property.
Fancy that!
And further, it is the desire of the present owner of the property that he be immediately removed from here and be brought up as a gentleman.
A gentleman?
Now, Mr. Pip, if you have any objections, this is the time to state it.
Objection? Why, no, of course not.
Well, I should think not. You are to understand that the name of your benefactor remains a profound secret, and you may not inquire into the hidden identity.
I understand.
Good. When will you come to London?
London? Why, whenever you say so.
First, you will procure suitable clothing. I shall leave you 20 guineas. And I shall expect you in London, Mr. Pip, this day week. And be prompt. I cannot abide a laggard.
Ah, there, Pip.
I've just been ordering a new suit, Uncle Pumblechook.
And to think that I should have been the signpost to your good fortune. A proud moment, boy.
But my benefactor remains a secret.
Ah, but to a man of insight, my boy, the mist of secrecy merely floats away.
Well, I must be off now, Uncle.
When you come into your property, if you feel you must invest certain sums in an established corn and seed business...
I remember, Uncle Pumblechook.
And always be grateful, boy. Grateful to your friends and them what brung you up by hand.
Well, Pip?
I'm going to London tomorrow, Miss Havisham, and I've come to take my leave of you.
Yes, I've seen Mr. Jaggers, Pip. I know all about it. So you're adopted by a rich person?
Yes, Miss Havisham.
And Mr. Jaggers is made your guardian?
Yes, Miss Havisham.
Well, you have a promising career before you. Be good, Pip, and obey Mr. Jaggers' instructions. Goodbye now, Pip.
Goodbye, Miss Havisham. Goodbye. The light was just beginning to break over the marshes when the London stage rattled into our village. The horses were stamping and snorting with the cold, and the top riders were bundled to the ears like so many caterpillars waiting for spring.
All up for London stage!
Well, goodbye, Pipplejack. Us has ever been the best of friends.
Oh, goodbye,
eh?
Joe.
Ah, God bless you, Pipplejack. God bless you. Ever the best of friends.
The high swaying coach rattled off down the road, and for a while I turned and looked at the winking lights of our village and the mist rising off the marsh. Then I turned and looked forward. The London road stretched out under the horses' feet. The mists had all solemnly risen now, and the world lay spread before me.
Hey, up there!
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a radio version of Great Expectations by Charles Dickens. If you are interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And be with us each week at this time for the most adult dramatic fare in radio. In the weeks ahead, we plan to present such exciting works as At Heaven's Gate by Robert Penn Warren, The Track of the Cat by Walter Van Tilburg Clark, Sons and Lovers by D.H. Lawrence, and Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce. Our production of Great Expectations will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
After hours of jolting, the coach finally clattered over the London cobblestones. I climbed down and set off for Mr. Jagger's office. I found it in a gloomy street, between an apothecary shop and a second-hand store with the distinct odor of stolen goods. I went in and asked after Mr. Jagger.
He's not in. He's at court. Am I addressing Mr. Pick?
Why, yes.
You ought to wait. I'm Wemmick, Mr. Jagger's clerk.
Well, I don't mean to be curious, Mr. Wemmick, but who are those odd gentlemen lounging about outside?
No gentleman there. That chap with one eye, armed robbery. The small man with the spectacles, coining. And the two dark chaps, suspicion of forgery.
And they're all waiting for Mr. Jaggers?
Yes. If anyone can get them off, it'll be Jaggers. And they know it. Hold on, Mr. Pip. There he is now, coming round from Newgate.
Oh, Mr. Jaggers.
Ah, there, Mr. Pip. A pleasant journey?
Well, yes, sir.
We've made all arrangements. Your anonymous benefactor wishes you to become a proper gentleman. You will draw an allowance and you will deal with the tradesman that I select. Thus, I shall be able to see if you are outrunning the constable. Wemmick, show Mr. Pip to his lodgings.
Well, I wondered if I might...
No question, sir, none at all. Wemmick, take him away.
Mr. Wemmick conducted me to Bernard's Inn, where I was to lodge, and introduced me to Mr. Herbert Pocket, who was to be my tutor and companion. Perhaps I should have been more surprised when I discovered Pocket was Miss Havisham's cousin.
Ah, oh, yes, Pip, she's a Tartar.
Miss Havisham?
Oh, no, I meant Estella. You know she's been brought up by Miss Havisham to wreak vengeance on the entire race of man.
Forever, why?
Bless me, don't you know? That's quite a long and gruesome story, but we shall have it with dinner. And if you like, I'll begin your instruction into the manners of gentlemen. Oh, shall we go down to the tavern?
As we ate, young Mr. Pocket told me all he knew of the history of Miss Havisham's strange household, interspersing his narrative with good-humoured correction.
I say, Pip, I might mention in passing that it is not the custom in London to put the knife in the mouth, for fear of accidents, you know. So the spoon is not generally used overhand, but under.
He commenced his story with the soup and finished it with the tea. He told of how Miss Havisham, a wealthy heiress, had gone head over heels for a young gentleman many years ago. The wedding day was set, the huge cake baked, but Miss Havisham's bridegroom was never seen again. And she stopped time in her house at the moment when that dread news arrived. She lived, as I had seen her, in the yellowing ruin of her bridal dress, with the great cake rotting on the cobweb table.
And Estella was adopted to provide her revenge on mankind. And, in closing, Pip, might I add that it is not considered necessary to balance a wine glass on the bridge of the nose to drain it?
Here you are, Mr. Pip, your third month's allowance, £20.
Mr. Wemmick, I don't know what to make of Mr. Jagger's manner. He seems so inquisitorial.
Oh, he don't mean to. He's deep.
Deep.
As Australia. Them two knew it. Them on the wall.
Oh, you mean the masks? Are they good likenesses?
Young man, them is the faces themselves cast directly after the individuals in question was cut down off Newgate gallows.
Oh.
They was clients of Mr. Jagger's what didn't pay a fee. Now you take his housekeeper.
His housekeeper?
She's a lioness tamed. She is a lioness tamed. She'll give you an idea of what kind of man is Mr. Jaggers.
And so the months wore away. I wore my clothes with nonchalance, had my boots blacked, and used proper manners when eating. I had become a gentleman. Then news came from Joe. My sister had died, and he was to come to London to visit me. I must confess that could I have kept him away by paying money, I would have done so. For now I was ashamed of his blacksmith trade and his rough speech.
Here, Pip, old chap!
Joe, how are you? Here, give me your hand.
Yeah, I'll hold it, Pip, old chap. My, how you've grown, huh? And, gentlefolk.
Joe, this is Herbert Pocket.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Gardner.
Your servant, sir. I hope you two gentlemen has got your health.
Sit down, Joe, sit down. And give me your hat.
That's all right, sir. I'll hold it.
Tea or coffee, Mr. Gardner?
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Which, Joe? Which?
Whichever, sir.
Now, Joe, how can you call me sir?
Well, it was not my intention which I had, sir, to break bread with two gentlemen. I come with a message from Miss Havisham. She wanted me to say Mrs. Stella is home and would be glad to see you. Now, I'll be going.
Oh, no, Joe, not now.
Aye, Pip, old chap. I'm going back where I belong. I mean to be forged. If you should wish to see me, I'll be at the old anvil in the old leather apron. Joe Gargery. Blacksmith, that's me. Well, God bless you, Pip, old boy. God bless you, my dear Pip. I won't bother you no more.
The next day I went down from London to Miss Havisham's. Her door was open as I approached. The tall wax candles threw long shadows over the dusty floor, and the yellow, faded bridal gown floated around her withered face.
Come in, Pip, come in.
Miss Havisham.
You've not seen my guest.
Good morning, Mr. Pip.
Oh, it can't be Estella.
Do you find her much changed, Pip? She was proud and insulting, and you wanted her to go home. Do you remember?
That was quite long ago.
Is he changed, Estella?
Very much.
Then you shall walk in the corridors you did before. Go now. I'm tired.
You made me cry there, in the corridor, the first day I met you.
Did I?
You don't remember?
You must know I have no heart, Pip.
Poor Estella.
There, Pip.
Is she not beautiful? Do you admire her?
Everyone must who sees her, Miss Havisham.
Love her, Pip. Love her. If she favors, you love her. If she wounds, you love her. If she tears your heart to pieces, love her. Love her. Love her.
Herbert! Herbert, wake up! Wake up!
Oh, Pip, when did you return to London?
Herbert, I'm in love. I adore Estella.
I see. Have you any idea of Estella's views?
She's thousands of miles off.
And well off, my dear Pip. Remember, she's been bred as a sharp knife to wound the soul of all men. She's the extension of Miss Havisham's mad rage.
I know, Herbert, I know. But nothing drowns the memory of her. Oh, she's beautiful, Herbert, and I love her.
Well, Mr. Pip.
It's my 21st birthday, Mr. Jaggers.
Congratulations. What do you suppose you're living at the rate of?
If you please, sir.
At the rate of?
Well, I'm not sure, sir. But is my benefactor to be made known to me today?
No. Here, sir, is £500, a handsome sum of money. You consider it so?
Why, sir...
Answer the question.
Yes, sir.
You shall live at the rate of £500 per annum until the donor of the whole appears.
But will my benefactor appear soon?
That is a question I must not be asked, or I may say more. As a lawyer, it would compromise me, sir, and I am never compromised.
Estella was the success of the season in London. She had admirers without end. I then knew that Estella was to wreak Miss Havisham's vengeance upon men, and I, with the rest, must suffer. Then we returned to Miss Havisham, who was particularly pleased to see Estella. But she struck the floor impatiently with her stick when the girl pulled away.
What girl? Are you tired of me?
Only tired of myself.
Speak the truth, you ingrate. You're tired of me.
I told you no, that should suffice.
You cold, cold heart.
What? Do you reproach me for being cold?
Look at her. So hard and thankless on the hearth where she was reared.
I am what you have made me. I owe everything to you. But what would you have of me?
Love.
Oh, you cannot ask me to return what you never gave me.
Did I never give her love? Burning, sharp, painful love. And she speaks thus of me. Let her call me mad.
Mad? No. Who knows better the steady memory, the set purpose that has driven you? Did I not sit at this very hearth and learn the lesson from your lips and from your eyes?
So proud, so proud.
Who taught me to be so? Who praised me when I learnt my lesson?
So hard.
Who taught me to be hard?
But to me, to be proud and hard to me, Estella to me.
I cannot think why you are not reasonable. I have remembered your wrongs and your teachings. I have never shown any weakness that I can charge myself with.
Would it be weakness to return my love?
I am the soul you made. You formed me cold and proud and incapable of love. Well, I will follow your lessons. I will torture and punish and madden, but love I cannot.
When I returned to my lodgings in London, I could hear the wind prying at the corners of the building, trying to get in. I climbed to the third floor and unlocked my door. A single candle threw dancing shadows about the room, and standing in the center of the light stood a massive, gray-haired man, browned and hardened by exposure to the weather.
It is you. It is, Pip. I've come.
I pray, sir, what is your business?
I've been waiting for you. There's no one I...
What do you mean, breaking into my room? Explain yourself.
Oh, you don't remember. A certain night, a cold and wet night with a fog rising off the marsh.
Wait up.
And the churchyard stones. Do you remember a poor, shivering varmint? A convict escaped to the hulks.
You? The man in the churchyard? The convict?
Aye. And you brought me food. And never a word did you spill to any man. Do you remember now, dear boy? You acted noble, Pip. Joran, dear boy.
Stay. If you have come here to thank me, it was not necessary. I'll not turn you out. But surely you must understand...
Hey, Pip?
...that I cannot renew that chance meeting with you. But you're wet and you look weary. Will you drink something before you go?
No, boy. I'll not drink.
How are you living? Do you need money?
I've done wonderful well across the ocean.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Might I be bold to ask how you've done since you was out under marshes?
I've been chosen to succeed to some property.
Might a mere varmint ask, whose property?
Well, I don't know.
And a guardian? Some lawyer, maybe? Might it be with a first initial J? Might his name then be Jaggers?
You...
How did I find you, you ask? I wrote to this Mr. Jaggers.
It can't be.
Yes, Pip, dear boy. I've made a gentleman of you. It's me what's done it.
Oh, no.
Yes, I swore that time if ever I got rich, it should be for you. Aye, it was me dragged you away from the blacksmith forge to make a gentleman out of you. I was a convict, Pip, but I made you a gentleman. Me, chained and beaten and transported halfway around the world to Australia. Who else should it be, dear boy?
Well, I thought someone else. I don't know what to say.
Oh, that's all right, dear boy. You weren't prepared like I was. But now, where will you put me?
Do you mean to sleep?
Yes, long and sound. But looky here. Caution.
Caution?
Nay, it's death, boy. Death if I'm caught in England, Pip. Jaggers can delve through his law books till his eyes rots. But if I'm taken, I'll dance at a rope's end at Newgate Prison.
Mr. Jaggers, I must speak
to you. Now, Pip, be careful. Don't commit yourself. Don't commit anyone.
I only want to find out if a person named Abel Magwitch, an ex-convict, is the benefactor so long unknown to me.
Yes, that is the man. In Australia.
And only he?
Only he.
I had always supposed it was Miss Havisham.
I'm not responsible for that, Pip. Not a particle of evidence.
Then it is true.
Take only the evidence, Pip. This Magwitch, in Australia, communicated with me and intimated that he would return to England. This would be an act of felony, and in this, sir, I cannot commit myself.
Of course not, Mr. James.
I shall want nothing more to do with the entire business. Do you understand that, Pip? Nothing.
What wind blows you down here, Pip?
I must speak to Estella, Miss Havisham. And I promise it will not displease you. For I am as unhappy as ever you meant me to be.
Oh, Pip, really?
I've found out who my mysterious patron really is. But that is another secret.
It's another secret? Well?
But because Mr. Jaggers...
Mr. Jaggers is my lawyer. But he was also agent of your patron was coincidence. He has a great many clients.
But when I fell into the mistake and assumed that you were my patron, you led me on.
Yes. I led you on.
Was that kind?
Kind? Who am I that I should be kind? Well, then, what else, Pip?
The rest is to Estelle.
Yes, Pip.
I love you. You know that I've loved you long and dearly.
And so?
I should have spoken sooner, but for my long mistake. It made me think that Miss Havisham had meant us at last for one another. But now...
I have not asked you to speak, Pip.
I know. I shall be poor again, Estella. I cannot take any further gifts from my benefactor. But still I love you.
Pip,
When you say you love me, I know what you mean as a form of words, but nothing more. I've tried to warn you of this, have I not?
I so hope you didn't mean it. You were so young, so beautiful.
Pip, I shall tell you the truth. I am to be married.
Married?
You know him. Bentley Drummle.
Drummle? But he's a brute, Estella, a stupid brute. Why, to fling yourself away on a man.
Do not be afraid of my being a blessing to him. I bring him nothing, as he brings me nothing.
Estella.
Oh, come, will you cry as you did when we first met? Are you still that common village boy? Oh, Pip, you will get me out of your thoughts in a week.
Nay, Estella. You have been in my every flash of fancy since I was a boy. Miss Havisham, this is indeed your revenge. A cruel, blind, senseless revenge for a wrong I never did you.
Pip,
I can hear no more. God forgive you, Miss Havisham, for I cannot. When I returned to London, I found a note at my lodgings from Wemmick, Mr. Jagger's clerk. My benefactor's ancient enemy, the one he had fought with on the marsh, had discovered he was back in England. We spirited him out and moved him to a room on the waterfront. From there, we planned to slip him on a packet boat bound for France and safety. There we waited. Then one night I was summoned to Mr. Jagger's to dine. I looked up just as his housekeeper glided into the room, and I started, for staring back at me from that hard and weathered face were Estella's eyes. After I left, I cornered Wemmick and finally got the truth.
Oh, she was up for murder, she was. And Jagger's got her off. It was over a man. And it was thought that she'd done away with a child.
Never proved, though.
This child, was it a girl?
Said to have been. Most mysterious, Mr. Pip, most mysterious. That woman, she's a wild beast tamed. And Jaggers, he's the man what done the taming.
So, Mr. Pip, you have heard the story of Miss Havisham's adopted daughter.
More than that, I know her father.
What?
Magwitch. Magwitch, the convict from Australia. He told how you defended your housekeeper, his wife. He told me of the child that disappeared. He thinks her dead.
I am a busy man, Mr. Pip.
The truth, Mr. Jaggers. I must have the truth.
Well, then. I'll put a case to you. Mind, I admit nothing. Put the case that a woman, such as you describe, a murderer, had her child concealed, and at the same time her legal adviser held a trust to find a child for an eccentric, rich lady to adopt.
I follow you, sir.
This legal adviser has seen children solemnly tried at the criminal bar. He knew of them whipped, tortured, transported, going up to the chain and the hangman. Put the case that he saw one pretty little child that could be saved. Understand, Pip? I admit nothing.
I understand.
Now, Pip, for whose sake would you reveal the secret? For the child? Tell her of a murderous and felonous parents? For you, who love the child?
Nay, sir. Nay, oh, I be hanged for it.
But remember, sir, that I admit nothing. Now, Wemmick, bring in those ledgers.
That night, the tide was running fast to the sea, and the packet boat for Rotterdam would sweep by. We planned to row to midstream, hailing the steamer as she drew abreast.
Hearing midstream.
Aye, Sykov, keep her steady.
You'll never know, dear boy, the feeling of freedom. Not like me, what is known the lock and the chain.
You'll be safe out of England in a few hours. Now remember, when the steamer comes, you're a merchant who must get to Rotterdam. And when... Yes, what is it?
There's a four-oar deli coming up from Temple Stairs.
Oh, no matter. Here's the steamer beyond the bend.
Swing the boat round. Now, get ready to hail her. She's coming full steam.
Pip, the fore on deli, it's closing in on us.
A wetter steam one.
Halt in the king's name.
Full harvest.
You've got to return promptly.
They've come for me.
Able maggots, I arrest you in the king's name. Get hold of their boat.
They'll not take me.
Look out. No. Look out. Look out. The steamer. The steamer.
And in the name of His Majesty the King, I direct that you, Abel Magwitch, convict returning to England after being sentenced to eternal exile, be taken to Tyburn Hill, and there, in the presence of all just men and women, be hanged by the neck until dead. May God have mercy on your soul. Bring on the next one.
Is it you, dear boy, Pip?
I came as soon as it was time.
Well, I'll fool them. They'll not be hanging me. That steamer paddle finished me.
Are you in much pain today?
I'll not come. I'm up, Pip. But I've seen that boy a gentleman.
Oh, dear Magwitch. Can you hear me? You had a child once, whom you lost.
I...
She lives. She is a lady, and is very beautiful. She is very beautiful. And I love her.
Pip. Pip.
His gnarled face was softer, and the massive hands fell to his side. The long chains and irons that bound him to his cot moved no more, and Magwitch was at last at peace. I wandered about the city then for days. The night on the river and the days that followed had brought on a violent fever. A swirling vapor clouded my mind, and men came in and out of it as ghosts. And then all seemed to look like Joe Gargery.
Easy now, Pip, old chap.
Joe? Is it really Joe?
Aye, old Joe himself.
Oh, Joe.
Easy now. Go back up the forge, safe and sound.
You know who my patron was, Joe? It wasn't Miss Havisham at all.
Aye, Pip, I know. And I've saw news for you. Miss Havisham, she caught that bride gown of hers in the fire when the young girl went to be wed. She's gone now, Pip, old chap. Gone to peace, poor lady.
Oh, Joe, I've no money now. I've a mountain of debts in the city.
Yeah, now I've got plenty for all.
Oh, no, I shall be off with Herbert Pocket. He has a place in a merchant's firm. I shall leave England, Joe. But I'll come back someday. Then, what larks, eh?
Aye, Pip, old chap. What larks?
It was 11 years before I returned to England, before I saw the flat marshlands again and the tiny buildings of Joe's Forge. That night, as the lights slid away, I wandered over to the village where Miss Havisham's great house had stood. There was no house now. The ground was bare, and the ivy climbed over the few remaining bricks and remnants of the walls. A cool, silvery mist veiled the twilight. And as I turned to leave, I saw a dark figure wandering in the ruins. For a moment, it seemed to be the veiled form of Miss Havisham. But then I came closer and saw it was Estella.
Pip. Oh, I wonder you knew me. I am greatly changed.
Your eyes are sad, Estella. They used to flash pride and scorn.
I have often thought of you, Pip.
You did marry?
Yes. He is dead. I have been broken, Pip. Broken and bent into a better shape. Tell me, Pip. Tell me we are friends before we part.
And more, Estella.
You said God forgive you when you left me, Pip. Tell me so again, and I shall be glad to part.
Glad to part? Oh, it is a painful thing, Estella.
Be as good to me as you once were, Pip. Tell me we are friends.
We are friends, Estella. We shall be always. I took her hand in mine, and we went out of that ruined place. The ivy caught at us as we passed through the gate, but the tangled vines slipped away, and we went forward. The evening mists were rising now, the marshland lay open before us, and in all the broad expanse of tranquil light they showed to me, I saw no shadow of another parting from her.
You have been listening to Great Expectations, an NBC Theater production of the Charles Dickens novel. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; or Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a first radio production of John Dos Passos, Manhattan Transfer, and the following week for The Ides of March, by Thornton Wilder. Great Expectations was adapted for the NBC Theater by Ernest Canoy. Our cast included Terry Kilburn as Pip, Donald Morrison as Magwitch, John Ramsey Hill was Young Pip, George Pembroke was Joe, Phyllis Morris was Mrs. Joe, Alec Harford was Pumblechook, Raymond Lawrence was Compasson, Constance Cavendish as Stella, Norma Varden was Miss Havisham, Ramsey Hill was Jaggers, Ben Wright was Wemmick, and Hugh Thomas was Pocket. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Well, for an enjoyable afternoon of relaxing entertainment, stay tuned to NBC for the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show and Theater Guild on the Air, today starring Peter Lawford. You'll find the best comedy for all the family on the Harris Faye Show and an intriguing story on Theater Guild. Today, on NBC. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.